Good morning. It is good to see you all here. Good to see your smiling faces. And as I always say, I'd rather be here in God's house than to be in the best hospital of Jackson County. So, all right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 11 and verse 35. Today I'm going to be speaking about Jesus knowing our deepest emotions. And when you get to John 11:35, if you're able, I'd like to ask you to please stand as I read from God's Word. Actually, I'm going to read 33 through 35. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit, and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is so good to know that you understand our needs. You understand the strife and the pains and the sufferings we go through. And Father, we're so thankful that in the reading of this word, Lord, we can apply to our lives today that Jesus does care. Jesus does love us. And Father, as I preach this message today, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, let that word be planted in our hearts today, that we will feed on your word, that we will meditate on your word, and that we will let it grow inside of us, changing us into what you want us to be, Lord. And now, Father, we thank you and praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, sometime back I preached the sermon about Lazarus dying, but today I want to basically zero in on John 11:35 about Jesus weeping. Well, we also know that's the shortest verse in the Bible. But the thing about John chapter 11 is that it does record the death of Lazarus, and Jesus also knew that Lazarus would rise again. But when he saw Mary and Martha and all of the friends and family around, and he saw that they were grieving, then it moved inside of Jesus. It moved him to weep as well. But one thing we do know, that something that's very profound, is that Jesus cares about our emotions. Jesus cares about our pain. Jesus cares about our strife and the hard times that we go through. So why did Jesus weep? It's because he does care very deeply for his people. When Jesus saw the sorrow of Mary and others, and he entered into their grief, basically, he was feeling the depth of emotion that they were experiencing in their loss of Lazarus. Now, a lot of you could probably associate with what Jesus is feeling. Whether it has happened in your family, or whether you know somebody, maybe a friend or a church member has passed away, you have gone to either the funeral home or the church, wherever the visitation or funeral service is being held, and I'm sure every one of you have been consumed in some way, form, or fashion. You've been consumed by the grief that they were feeling, and it moved you inside your heart. And some people, in some ways, they will cry with those that are crying. They are saddened. It also moves people to pray for those going through a difficult time. Now, my downfall is I'm very emotional. When I go to a funeral, I get so attached. There's been times that when I've preached, and a lot of people have seen this, I've stood in the pulpit and I've cried. And it's because I was sad and burdened for the family and what they were going through. We have to allow ourselves as Jesus did that day. Jesus, what he did, Jesus looked past his own needs. Jesus wasn't concerned about what he was after or anything else. Jesus was there for Mary and Martha and the friends that were gathered. Jesus put all of his own needs aside and he looked deep into the heart. He saw the suffering and it touched him in such a way that he wept. Now, you have to know this. Jesus was in human form. So when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, what does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus felt a lot of the emotions that you and I feel today. And knowing that Jesus was the Son of God, he was still took the form of man, and he himself, he went through a lot of the same deep valleys, and he also went through a lot of the mountaintop experiences that you and I have. Now, Jesus didn't tell them to stop crying. Now, you know, when you were a kid and you was crying about something, I'm sure your moms or dad said, if you don't quit crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. I can't tell you how many times living in the South that I heard that. You better have a good reason for crying if you was wailing at all about anything. But Jesus let them cry. And here's why I believe is the reason. Because when you cry, do you realize that you are allowing the heaviness to really to be taken out? You're letting go. If you bottle all of your feelings and emotions up, you know what eventually happens? It starts to psychologically work on the mind, and it will, after some time, it will affect your physical body as well. So if you're saddened, then right here, Jesus, he's allowing us to cry. Now, I've heard a lot of Christians say, well, Christians aren't supposed to cry. That's false. You have emotions. And if you have the opportunity to cry with somebody else or something you're going through, it allows us to get to a place where I believe that we can just empty ourselves of everything. Bless you, babe. That we can empty ourselves of everything that's inside of us, and it allows us to just take in the peace and the comfort and the power of the Lord Jesus. I can almost imagine that moment, you know, because now remember Mary and Martha, they were upset at Jesus because he was 3 days late. So they were kind of upset at him. They said, well, Lord, you know, if you'd been here, our brother would still be alive. But Jesus moved with the compassion. You know, when they showed up, I often wonder if they even knew inside of their own hearts, I wonder if they knew that their brother would be raised. I don't know. But, you know, the comforting presence of Jesus. Have you ever been going through something really difficult and you get down on your knees in prayer and you pour your whole heart out to God and you're just saying, Lord, I don't know what to do anymore. I just call out to you, Father. Have you ever experienced his presence come right where you are? Have you ever noticed how Jesus comes in so sweetly and so softly and he just consumes you? And have you ever been in the middle of turmoil and when that presence hits you, it puts you in a place of peace? I've been there many times. But it's great to know that Jesus wept with them. Hebrews 4:15 talks about that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So basically, when we hurt, Jesus understands that hurt. Whether it's the death of someone you love, whether it's family problems, disappointment, loneliness, fear about the future, or whatever it may be, The Lord knows and understands everything. Sometimes you ever ask yourself, well, I just don't think the Lord really truly understands what I'm going through. Boy, that's a lie from the pits of hell right there. Because the Lord knows and the Lord sees. Because Jesus walked the same exact road that of life that you and I walk. And Jesus was our example how to handle situations. So you're never alone in your sorrow. Now, when you're, I want to say this. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to grieve. It really is. Because that allows you to increase your faith in the Lord. That allows you to grow in Jesus Christ. But I do want to say this. Don't get yourself stuck. And what I mean by that, don't get yourself stuck in a place where you let grief consume you so much that it overtakes your mind, that it overtakes your heart, and that you let it cripple and destroy your life. Because we also know that when we go through these tumultuous times in life, we are supposed to praise the Lord. We're supposed to lift up the name of the Lord on high. You may not ever feel like it, but I'll tell you this. If you get down in your troubles and you start singing songs to Jesus, you can pick up any hymn book or if you know any chorus and you start singing to God, I guarantee you that the moment you start singing praises to God, you're lifting up praise. God is going to pour out His Spirit on you. And when God pours His Spirit out upon you, He's going to give you rest. He's going to lift you up above your troubles. And after a while, you're going to kind of look back at your troubles and go, wow, look what the Lord has done. Look what He brought me through. There's been many times in my life that I thought I might drown in sorrow, but if I hadn't given it to the Lord, I tell you what, I don't know what kind of a mess I'd be in today. And I think probably the strongest struggle that I could ever really give to you this morning was taking care of my mother for 10 years alongside of what the staff at Memory Care was doing for all that. Well, a lot of time was in her own home until she had to be placed in assisted living and in memory care. But watching her go through that journey brought me down to such a heartfelt place that I just felt like nobody understood what I was going through. I felt like sometimes nobody really knows the pain that I'm experiencing. I'm watching my mother not know me, and I was filled with fears. And finally, when the time came and I knew she was going to pass, I had to pray. And I had to just dump it off of my mind and set it before the Lord. And you know, the morning that I got the call that my mom had passed away, and I walked into her room, she looked like an angel laying there. And that's when I walked into the room, this is what came to my mind. Jesus telling people, I am the resurrection and the life. See, what happened in the time of death of Lazarus, Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead and there would be victory over death through Jesus becoming a sacrifice on the cross, which is going to bring me to my second point. Jesus wept because sin brought death. Lazarus' death was ultimately connected to the entrance of sin into the world. Romans 5:12, sin into the world and death through sin. It's all because Jesus knew that that was not part of God's original design. But the moment sin entered into the world, see, when God created Adam and Eve, it wasn't meant for them to die. They weren't supposed to know sin at all. But when Adam and Eve sinned, it brought death into the world. And it brought with that the troubles that you and I see today. Sin is sin, and it was brought into this life. And Jesus knew that his death was coming. So this is the thing. When he was standing there and he knew he was going to call Lazarus forth from the grave, from the dead, Jesus was also thinking in his own mind, Jesus knew that he was going to go to the cross, that he was going to die for our sins, and that on the third day, he himself would be raised, giving us victory over death, hell, and the grave. Jesus does not merely see the consequences of sin. He came to defeat sin. So when the tears were being shed at Lazarus' grave, it was basically pointing to the cross and what Jesus was going to do for us. If it wasn't for Jesus, you and I would have absolutely no hope. I mean, when I worked part-time in the funeral home, helping my friends out at the funeral home, I heard a lot of preachers stand up there and talk about having victory over death. And a lot of people just kind of had the deer in the headlight look, like they weren't really getting a hold of the message of what the preacher was saying. But what I'm saying to you is this. What happened on the cross gives us victory over death and also gave us victory over sin. So here's what I'm saying to you, Christian. Don't give in to the sinfulness and the wickedness of this world. You have victory over it. But you can only draw the power from Jesus Christ. You and I do not have the power inside of us to defeat the sin that's in this world. You and I don't have the power within us to defeat death. But we get all of our power from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what Jesus done for us brought us an ultimate victory. Now, Jesus wept, but Jesus also put into action. Jesus did not stop with the tears. He went to the tomb and he cried, but then Jesus spoke and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And we know what happened then from that time. Now, the people were worried about how he was going to smell, because he said, "Lord, he's been in there for days now. He's been dead." But when Lazarus came forth from the grave, he was restored. He was made whole. And from that, we can apply to our life today that it doesn't matter what you're going through. There may be times you feel like you can't make it anymore. I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ can give you the power and he can restore you no matter what it is that you're going through. Well, so after Jesus spoke the command, we saw Lazarus. Well, we didn't see him, but we know that Lazarus came forth. It showed not only was Jesus sympathetic to the family, but it showed his power. Jesus cares about our sorrows, and he has authority over death. He has the power to give us life. Jesus said in John 11:25, if you go over and look there, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." Now, that is basically telling you and I that if you are a Christian, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, the moment that the physical body dies, the spirit goes on immediately to be with Jesus. Now, there's a lot of religions that will teach When you die, your spirit stays in the body until Jesus calls you out of the grave. That's not true. At the moment that Jesus died on the cross, Jesus said that he gave up his spirit. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And Jesus also told the thief on the cross that day, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Meaning, at the time that you die because you believe, because that prisoner believed on Jesus, that thief became a victor that day and was in paradise with Jesus. So, Christian, the moment that you die, the moment that you take your final breath, that is not it. It's not over. When you die, the spirit leaves the body, because to be absent from the body, Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. So when we go to a funeral and we see the body of our loved one laying there, I want you to know this. They have received the ultimate victory. They have received the victory over death. They are not in the body. They are in the presence of the Lord. They are experiencing things that you and I can't probably even fathom or think of. And I tell you what, I've said at many funerals when I've preached them, I've often said, I wish that whoever could come back and just tell us what heaven is like. Oh, how I'd love to know it. And hey, we're going to miss them. There's going to be the sadness and the sorrow. But if your loved one was a Christian and you are a Christian, the day is coming that when you take that last breath, not only will you see God and will you see Jesus, but you will see your loved ones and you will know them as they were. Now that ought to give you joy right there. See, the death and the burial of your loved one, that's not the end of it. That doesn't write the end of the book and then say, you know, that's the last chapter. Death is only the beginning for the Christian, because they have gone on to be with Jesus. They're going to have a brand new glorified body. And in heaven, there's no sickness. There's no pain. There is no tears. And I guarantee you, you won't see a funeral home. And you will not see a cemetery in heaven. Those things will no longer exist. Because once you and I have come to that place, and we're with Jesus, there is no more death. There will be no more sin when we get to heaven. Now, we also know at the end of time that this old earth will be destroyed. John was writing when he was on the island of Patmos, and he was writing from the vision that the Lord gave to him. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will live for eternity with the Lord. That means you won't know sadness. You won't know grief and sorrow. You won't know troubled times anymore. It's going to always be joy with the Lord forever. So yes, it's okay to shed tears. It's okay to have the grief, because those are the opportunity, or the times of opportunity, where we should get on our knees and pour our hearts out before the throne of God and ask the Lord to help show us what He's trying to do within us, what we need to learn, and how we need to grow. You know, something that I can really relate to. I had no idea when I became the pastor here that it was going to happen. But, you know, after my mom had passed away, and I thought, well, you know I went through this whole experience for a reason. And one Sunday, we had a family came here and visited. And right after church, the husband, he says, "Pastor, can I talk to you for just a moment?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Well, we stepped over here in the side room, and he said something to me, and it showed me that God put both of us there at the same time, at the same place, for a good reason." That man said, "Well, I'm going through something right now that I never thought I'd have to go through." He said, "My mother has been diagnosed with dementia, and she's starting to lose her mind." And he said, "This is one of the hardest things that I've ever had to deal with, because there's sometimes my mother doesn't know me." Right then and there, the Lord said, "I put you here. You went what you went through, not just because God wasn't being mean to me, but God was preparing me for the moment that I would get to share with somebody else who is going through the exact same experience that I just walked through." And we had the opportunity to pray over there. And after we prayed, he gave me the biggest hug. And he said, "Thank you. Thank you. You have no idea how much better that makes me feel." Because number one, his mother was a Christian. And I said, even though she's going through this for the moment, she will be in heaven one day. And it will be different. And she'll never go through something like that again. Now Jesus wept, but the story did not end at the grave. Well, Lazarus came out of the tomb, and here's what I want you to think about. Lazarus was going to die again. Do you ever think about that? There was. Yeah, a time was coming that Lazarus would die again. But Jesus would accomplish something even greater by going to the cross and dying for our sins and raising from the dead again. Because Jesus lives, death does not have the final word. Just like the old hymn says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." I can face tomorrow because of what he did on the cross. Because he raised from the dead, his power has been transferred to us, and you and I are supposed to live by that power. That's why I said, you and I don't have it inside of us, but when we come to the Lord and ask him to fill us, then I'm telling you what, child of God, he will fill you and he will lift you up. And then you will know the very reason why it's so good to live for Jesus. I also like the other old song, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. So I am his." Revelations 21:4 says that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Isn't it going to be? There's not going to be a Puffs Kleenex plant in heaven. You won't have to ask somebody to hand you a tissue. Won't that be great? Now the whole progress, Jesus wept, and then Jesus died, and then Jesus rose again. And the greatest news that I could share with you this morning, Jesus is coming again. What victory we have. You know what? The church ought to be the happiest bunch of people around. We shouldn't go around looking like we lost our best friend. We shouldn't look like we got baptized in pickle juice. That's not how we're supposed to live. If Jesus died for us, then when people come to our church, people ought to be seeing a smile on your face. They ought to see joy radiating from your life. And when they ask you, why are you smiling? Because Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and all the relationship that I have with Him, it's the sweetest that I've ever had. He is a friend who will stick closer than any brother. Now, I tell you what, there's a lot of good reassurance there. Now, John 11:35 contains two words, Jesus wept. But those two words tells us that when you cry, He deeply cares about your emotions and what you're feeling. When you hurt, He understands. And when death comes, Jesus does have the answer. When you face the grave, Jesus is your resurrection and your life. So you might shed tears today, but because of Jesus, our tears are not the end of the story. One day, the one who wept at Lazarus' grave will wipe away the tears from our own very eyes. Amen. Amen. I tell you, that's the greatest news right there. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Now, in hell, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there's going to be suffering and torment. And it never ends. And that's truth. That is truth. People today don't like to hear that. They say it might cause them too much anguish or too much fear. Well, we need more preachers in pulpits speaking the truth about hell, because if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you die without Him, guess who sent you to hell? Your own self.